Good morning and welcome to Village and Baptist Church. It's so wonderful to see you all here on this wonderful Sunday morning. Now we'll be having the passing of the peace. And if you're new, we just go around, say hi, greet each other with a smile, say peace be with you, whatever you're comfortable with, a little nod, slight smile, just something. Afterwards, the music will start, and that'll let you know to head back to your seats. Quite a few announcements this morning. Ladies Bible study is resuming Tuesday at 10 a.m., but they will be on Zoom for the month of August. Missions Commissions is having a meeting on Tuesday at 7 p.m. on Zoom as well. And Church Council is also meeting on Thursday at 7 p.m. on Zoom. Summer's Mission Project, they have a goal of 50 backpacks for local kids. Today is the deadline for collecting and bringing backpacks in. Vacation Interfaith School allows 8 to 12 year olds to learn about Christian, Jewish, and Muslim faith traditions. It'll happen from August 21st to the 23rd and from 6 to 8 p.m. You can register on Village's webpages. A survey about the pastor search process is available. Check the announcements in your email, or on the back table, we have paper copies that you can fill out if you're not comfortable doing it online. And I think they're just putting it on the back table once they're done. Yep. Deacon Family Ministry. If you want a deacon, you can be assigned to a flock. Business meeting is coming up on August 20th, and that'll be after church. And we'd also like to welcome Dr. Tricia Miller. We are so glad you're here. And if anybody wants additional information, there is a handout in the bulletin telling you a little more about our wonderful guest speaker today. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Faithful this morning, please stand and join me as we sing. Helps if you start in the right place.
Thank you. my good morning. This is the time we share our concerns, and for those who are worshiping with us online, we've muted the sound. We're glad to share within our sanctuary here, but we don't want everybody in the world who might be logged on to know what we're sharing. At this point, we'll ask Dr. Miller Mannerin to come and lead the prayer.
Would you please pray with me? Oh God, indeed you are able, and we as your people gather this day, knowing that there are others who have gathered already, who are gathering now, and who will gather yet later this day, for this is the day you have made, a day set apart as a resurrection celebration. And as we gather as your people, we share celebrations for sisters who are doing much better, for our beloved Frankie, who's out of the hospital and worshiping with us today, for the officer who is improving, for Colby and his conditional offer to the police academy. God, for the freedom to gather and worship in this beautiful place with these wonderful people. May we not take these things for granted, but may we always give you thanks. God, we pray for Randolph Jones as he is in the hospital. Work through the doctors and nurses and medical team to restore his body. We pray for those who are recovering from surgery, who have cancer treatment awaiting them. We give you thanks that Charlie's surgery went well, and we pray for those who have upcoming procedures. God, we pray for families who mourn. We pray for the family of the police officer. We pray for his companions in the police department. We pray for those first responders, God, who experience such tragic loss. We pray for their mental health and their overall well-being and for their families. We pray for Pastor Emily and her family as yet again they are sad to lose their beloved puppy. God, be with them. Be their comfort. God, we thank you for creation, which reminds us of the Creator. So we pray for the trees and those who tend to the trees. And we know that you care for the sparrows, for the grass of the fields, for the lily of the valley, and for the dogwood trees. As this is August and summer is coming to an end, Lord, we lift up those who are traveling and ask for your mercies to be upon them. May their time away be a time of restoring, of recuperating, of regeneration, of rest. May they celebrate with family. May they be still from a busy life. And may they be renewed and reminded of your love. So God, as we continue this time of worship, may our attention be on you, the one who gives us life, the one who taught us to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen."
It is time for the children's story. Children young at heart, wannabe children. Those that haven't given it up yet. Oh, look at you. I think they beat me to it. Actually, you inspired me from last week. All right, who knows this word? I'll show it to the adults first. Can you see that back there? Big word. Close. Huh? Close? Okay. All right. Well, let me start telling you why I'm bringing up this word. Normally I bring, when I'm talking about this particular topic that I'm going to talk about, I read you a story about a mouse and a lion. You know that one? You've heard it before from me? Really? I should have brought my book then. But the mouse bothers the lion, and the lion says, I'm going to make you a meal for bothering me. But the mouse begs and pleads, please don't, please don't. You know, one day I'll help you. And the lion says, someone as small as you, small like you, there's no way you can help me. But the lion says, you know, okay, I've had enough mice for the day. I'm going to let you go. And then later on, the lion gets caught in a trap. Do you remember that part of the story? Oh, he doesn't remember me doing it. Okay. Maybe somebody else did the story, you know. But yes, so the lion gets caught in a trap, and he cries out for help. And guess who hears him? The mouse, that one person, that one thing that said, I'd help you out. And I tell you that I would have read that story and told you, see, even people as small as a mouse or small as you, small as me, can participate in the life of somebody else. That's what this big word is all about. Participate. That lion and that mouse participated in each other's life in a great way. So that reminded me, well, how can the children in church participate? And the miles has beat me to it. So, yeah, your way of participating, you may not have money, you may not have a car, you may not have time to drive to church because you don't drive, or walk to church because you're too far, but you can participate by telling God how you want to participate in the life of the church. It can be, on here, it says, I'm going to participate my time. And by doing that, maybe you'll pray a little extra at night. The next one is my talent. I think I've seen things like baking cookies. That was yours? Okay. What's that? Oh, she did all the, Avery Joe did all the baking ones. And I've seen other things like I'm going to play basketball or I'm running track. And that way you can show God how much you want to participate in things around you. So when you're sitting in church sometime, just before you do children's story, look in the back of the pew. You might see one of these envelopes. And you can think about it while you're sitting quietly. Well, I don't want to bug my parents for money, so I'll say I'm going to pray about a good friend, or I'm going to try harder in school, or I'm going to work hard to clean up my room or help my mom and dad clean the yard. And then that way you get to participate in things going on around you. So as you enjoy the summer, think of ways that you can participate at home, in your families. Well, I guess you don't have school, but if you're in camp, participate in camp by playing games and being a fair player. And then in church by saying, God, I may not have money, I may not have time, but I can use the time I have to participate by praying and being a good steward for God. Thank you. So let's say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we may be small in the eyes of the world, but in some way we can all participate. We can all chip in, join in your mission, and help this church to grow and ourselves to grow in our love of Jesus. Amen. Okay. I guess you're going to listen.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let their truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
Today's scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Lord, add to our understanding of these his holy words.
It is good to be with you. As I was thinking this week how long I have known Village Baptist Church, I think it's been 10 years. When I began as the executive coordinator with the Mid-Atlantic Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, and as my grandma Frankie said, I got to travel with Village to South Africa, and I had the best roommate. But it is a joy to be with you again and to have journeyed with you off and on these 10 years. I bring you greetings from the District of Columbia Baptist Convention. So while I have changed positions, you have remained. And I am grateful that with both positions, I've had the opportunity and the privilege to work with you. I also have the great privilege of working with Loretta Polite Shipman on a regular basis. I know she's rolling her eyes right now, but she has been a true gift for me. She keeps me on my toes, reminds me sometimes of appointments that might have gotten a little forgotten. She is a wonderful friend and a wonderful colleague to be about ministry. It's also wonderful to be able to worship with Joel Hawthorne today. And what a blessing to know that you will be preaching on the regular with Village. So, sisters and brothers, I am thrilled to be with you today. Would you please pray with me? Oh God, in this moment and in this time, may I decrease that you might increase, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. About 2 years ago, my father-in-law died. Our three children, my husband and I, had sat vigil for about a week, anticipating his passing. We took our oldest to university at Christopher Newport University in Newport News. And within a few hours of returning back, my father-in-law passed away. It was time for me and our two other children to return home so they could see their friends and get involved with school activities. They were so excited to be able to be with their friends because they really lost the last 2 weeks of their summer vacation. And as we were going home, my daughter said to me, "Mom, are you going to be okay to be by yourself?" She knows me pretty well. I'm not really one to be by myself. While I'm an extrovert, I'm not a really far-right extrovert, but I am an extrovert, so I need to be with people. And I said to her, "I'm going to be okay. I'm going to call my mom. My mom has dementia." And I said, "I just need to be with my mom, but I don't know if she'll be there or not." And Maggie understood what I meant. I had a hunger, I had a thirst for my mom. And Nathaniel and Maggie went off with their friends, and I called my mom. And she was there. I don't mean physically there, but she was my mom. And I didn't have to explain what had taken place. She was there. She was my mom. She could empathize and sympathize with me like she had years gone by. The mom who would hold me and love me, who didn't need explanation, who didn't ask a million questions that she had just asked a second ago. She was there. And that hunger and that thirst that I had was met. And it was time for us to turn off the screen. Hopefully she wouldn't turn it off because then the Alexa gets all messed up. And I said, "Mom, I miss you." And she said, "I miss you too, honey." But she didn't know what I meant. I didn't really mean so much that I missed sitting with her, although I did. But what I really meant was, I miss this mom who's not here anymore, who stopped by, who satiated a hunger for me at a moment in a need. When my kids were off, my husband was still with his mom, and I was mourning and grieving, and I just needed my mom. And so when I told her goodbye and I told her I missed her, that's what I meant. She satisfied a hunger that I had missed for a long time. You probably know what I mean. If you haven't experienced that direct kind of hunger, I suspect that you have thirsted or hungered to be with somebody. Or maybe you've thirsted and hungered to be loved in ways that we're missing. Maybe you've seen it by somebody who's an attention grabber, if they would just be quiet. But you know, they're really thirsting and hungering for something else. Or maybe you've experienced it by seeing a child, an infant, or an older child, or even a senior citizen experience failure to thrive. They haven't been touched. They haven't been fed. Their minds and their hearts haven't been stimulated. And I can only imagine that even if they do not have words for it, they are thirsting and hungering for that which they do not have. And the pain has got to be great. And we've all seen pictures of hungry children with their tummies distended and their hair turning yellowy orange. Growing up in the 80s, we saw them all the time on TV. When our family lived in Uganda, and I've probably shared stories about going to this place called Kampiringisa with you in the past, we would take food because most of those children at what they called a remand home were not nourished appropriately. So we would take food. We would take the milk sometimes. But because they hadn't eaten, because they hadn't been nourished appropriately, that milk did not settle well within them, though their bodies were crying out for such nourishment. Their bodies were in need of such nourishment. You've seen people perhaps experience heat stroke. Their bodies need water. When we are without water, it's not simply that we're parched. Our organs start to malfunction or not function. It's that they need the fluid to work. And I'm no medical person, but I have seen people experience heat stroke. It's terrifying. We know these needs for food, for milk, for water. In the book of Lamentations, chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. Listen to what the scripture says about those. My eyes are spent with weeping. My stomach churns. My bile is poured out on the ground because of the destruction of my people, because infants and babies faint in the city streets. The cry of their mothers, where's bread and wine, as they faint like the wounded in the streets of the city, as their life is poured out on their mother's bosom. We see even in scripture the images of what it means to hunger, to thirst. There are people in our own communities, whether it is because emotionally they're not connected or because physically they are hungering and thirsting, who are in need. And I believe that those who were in the Babylonian exile, those for whom Isaiah was writing, were hungering and thirsting for God in a way that they didn't even fully understand. That they remembered, because it was told to them of the Davidic covenant, that God would be their God, that they would be connected. And yet in this time of exile, were they really sure God was with them? Did they really understand that the God who promised to be with them was with them? I just don't know. Professor Juliana Clausen of South Africa writes this. She says, the crisis brought about by the Babylonian exile surely raised all kinds of questions about whether God still remembered the covenant made with David. Village Baptist, in your life as a congregation, you have gone through all sorts of changes since 1968, when the first group of people gathered. Some of you were around, whether you were part of Village or not, and some of us were not yet born. But in 1968, God planted a vision for the people that would be known as Village Baptist Church, and I suspect that there have been times, including the fire of 2000, that some of you have felt like you were in exile. You wondered maybe where God was working. You've gone through some mighty big transitions in the last few years, and I wonder what your questions might be. I wonder what you might be thirsting for, what you might be hungry for, what the questions might be, because transition always, always brings about concerns, questions, worry, feeling like just maybe we might be in exile again. Might be hungry for something, hungry for nourishment that's going to last, thirsting for that living water that just keeps coming and rushes over you, asking new questions. It's a time to ask questions. It's a time to be creative. I'm glad that you have a survey to fill out. Ask those questions. Don't be afraid. Push for the answers. It's time for you in those days to share what you're hungering for. Just like I told my daughter, I just want to be with my mom. And you know, it's time to really see what God has in store yet again for Village Baptist Church. God called a group, and that group expanded in ways that that group in 1968 could not have imagined. Look around. Look around. Look at your beautiful faces and the way that God has called nations to be here. It's similar to the Davidic covenant. For you see, when God first made that covenant, it was thought to have pretty strict parameters. Here are the people with whom God is in covenant. And yet, that covenant has expanded from a rigid group to a larger group. In Isaiah 42, verses 5 through 9, thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind and bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prisons, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. A light to the nations. That covenant, which seemed rather rigid, was expanded by the people of Israel and has been expanded by the people known as Village Baptist Church. Don't these words from Isaiah give you excitement? Or maybe I'm just kind of a weird minister type, and these things that give me excitement, you shake your head on. I get it. My children shake their head at me all the time. But I hope that these words from Isaiah will quench your thirst, will provide you with nourishment. God is doing new things. The scripture passage today says, come, ho, come on, everybody. Come and have water, water which is necessary for life. Water which is necessary for the dogwood trees, is necessary for you and me, is necessary for the nations. Come and have wine. Now, I know that in a Baptist church, we might want to skirt around the wine conversation, but those who went to South Africa, I'm looking at some of you. We went to a vineyard. Didn't we? It was quite an experience. But you know, the wine isn't talking about coming and getting drunk and getting lost in our minds. The wine is representing pleasure. Come and experience God's great pleasure. Come, come, come and have milk which richly nourishes us. An infant's first food is milk. Whether a human infant or a baby in the wild, the baby lion and the baby mouse and the baby human, their first food is all milk. The milk is rich and necessary, provides that which is needed to thrive and to grow. Come, come have water and wine and milk, and come have bread. Bread which satisfies hunger. Good bread. Now, some of you, good bread might be, you know, a loaf of like Wonder Bread. For others, it might be one of those artesian breads that has nuts and seeds and maybe once in a while some craisins or something. This morning, I had some really yummy bread. I'm a Pennsylvania girl with Pennsylvania Dutch heritage, and yesterday, my husband and I went to Pennsylvania to celebrate a friend's birthday, and on the way, we stopped at a market. And you know, there was an Amish bakery. Have you ever been to one? Be careful. I bought 2 packs of sticky buns, and I had one this morning. Not only did it taste so delicious, the taste reminded me of home when my parents on the weekends would make sticky buns. Not cinnamon rolls, sticky buns. Gooey and ooey and sticky. It reminded me of home, it brought comfort, and it also satisfied my hunger to get through preaching a sermon, which can be like running a marathon. A new tidbit for you. But bread satisfies. Bread can take away those hunger pains. Bread's like having a conversation with my mom. It doesn't always have to be a sticky bun. And maybe not always even an artesian nice bread. Maybe sometimes it is just a piece of bread from a loaf. But it satisfies that hunger, doesn't it? Come, the scripture says. It says, oh, come on, come and buy these things, but don't spend any money. Come and experience water, which is necessary for life. Come and experience wine for pleasure. Come and experience milk for nourishment. Come and experience bread to satiate and satisfy your hunger. And it's everlasting, and it's extravagant, and it costs nothing. Because God says, come. When my mom was able to be present with me, I was malnourished, and she satisfied, she met a hunger, she met a thirst, didn't she? Something I had longed for. When those children were given milk, that milk nourished them, even though they may not have been able to take it at the time, but they had longed for it, and they didn't even realize what they were longing for. As people of God's Covenant Village Baptist, come. There are things you are longing for. There are things you are thirsting for. You are hungering for. Come, receive life like water. Come, receive pleasure. Come, receive nourishment and receive satisfaction. Come. And the nations that don't know you are coming, and the nations that you do not know are coming. Look around you. Look around your neighborhood. Look around the DMV. And isn't it interesting that Jesus says, come. Come and follow me. Come and I will give you living water. And to celebrate that gift that he calls us to, he gave us a gift. He gave us a gift to commemorate his life. that we might be joined forever with the Davidic covenant and the covenant of Christ as we come, as we remember, as we repent, and as we give thanks to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, the word is coming from Paul after they took the supper, which we will soon take. But he said, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We are a covenanted people who come to this table with the nations we know and the nations we don't know, with the nations who know us and the nations who have no idea who Village Baptist is. We come because God has called us to come. To offer us life, life that is sustaining, life that is necessary, life that will meet us at the needs we don't even know, but where we hunger and when we thirst, in areas of life where we may know and realize, in areas of life where we have no idea.
On that night in the upper room, Jesus had already done some confusing things with the disciples. He had gotten on his knees and he washed their feet. And they said, "Oh, no, 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 no. We're supposed to wash your feet." He said, "No, let me wash your feet." You remember? And then they were partaking in this meal, which they did every year. Most likely with their families. Not unlike our time, perhaps around a Thanksgiving table or your summer picnic here, was one the disciples were familiar with. But they weren't familiar with the master washing their feet. And they certainly weren't familiar when Jesus took that bread. And when he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, given for you. It's given that we might have our hunger satisfied, that we might experience what life truly is, that we might remember the one who gives us. Will you pray with me? Oh God, we are grateful for this meal. We are grateful that it calls us to remember Jesus, who came and dwelt among us, tabernacled as one of us, became flesh, and then who gave his body for us that we might have life. Forgive us our sins, O God. Cleanse us and make us right before you. Amen. Take, eat, and remember. As their time together progressed, Jesus then took the cup. And after giving thanks and pouring it, he said, "This is the covenant, the new covenant in my blood." And as Paul says, as often as you drink it, you remember. You remember the gift of Jesus. As we drink, as we remember, may we again hear even the words of the prophet who said, "Come, come, come and have living water, come and have wine, come and have bread, come and have milk, come." This new covenant from Jesus is that we have everlasting life. because of the gift that he gave to us. Please pray with me. Oh God, for this gift that we share with Christians all around the world, from ancient days to today into all time, we are humble. We are grateful. We give you thanks that you call us to come. We lift these prayers to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Drink and remember. The story goes that after Jesus and the disciples shared this very perplexing meal. You see, we on this side of the empty tomb, on this side of the cross, have a much deeper understanding of what Jesus meant. But the disciples certainly didn't. They were still confused, and days would still come that would be equally confusing. But after they finished the meal, they sang a hymn. And so I invite you to stand as we sing together, praise to the Lord the Almighty, and give praise and thanks that God calls us to come. Come and eat and drink, for this is life.